Luke chapter 5, please. I believe the Lord's laid something on my heart for who's here today. Desire God's prayer, God's touch, that you, God, would just help us today. Our voice and everything would hold out. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had said this, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help him. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. Can you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just have your way today, Lord. Touch us with your word and help us today. Praise God. Luke chapter 5, we find the stories also recorded in Matthew, and also Mark gives some detail of this. But Luke goes in a little bit more detail of this, of the situation or beginning of Christ's ministry. After he is of age, and probably around 30 or so of age, he has begun his ministry. At the time, he had been faithful to his family, his mother and his father, working in the carpenter shop and doing the things and being busy about this and being faithful to what God had put before him. But now, it's time for him to hang up the chisel and to hang up the hammer, to hang up the saw, and probably put a clothes sign on the carpenter shop. The Lord has called him to go forth now and to begin his ministry and bringing in the disciples and the teaching of the disciples and preparing for the birth of the church and the beginning of this ministry. At the very beginning of it, he finds that the multitude of people are there thronging at him and wanting the word of God, wanting to hear from him and what he had to say. He drew the people everywhere he went. Thank God, I'm looking for that time when people have such a hunger for the Word of God that they would just cling to Him, just want more of God's Word. And as He passed by, He saw two ships standing by the lake. And the fishermen, they were gone out of them at this time. They were off out of the boats. And with the Scripture talks about ships, it's not as we may think of some huge freight line or something like this, some huge ship. It was just a small boat. Just a few men could get in, and that they could go and they could fish and throw their nets out and bring the fish in. And when he walks by, he sees these two ships that are there and the men are outside of it. Might have been the helpers that were out of the boats washing their nets. They were there and cleaning them, getting their nets ready for the next time that they would go fish, a time for them to go fishing. And he finds that when he sees the boat, he enters into it. moment, the scripture tells us in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships that's belonging to Simon or Peter. It's his boat, and he asked him that he would go, and he would thrust himself out just a little bit away from the shore, and that he would be able to begin to minister to the people. Jesus, at this time, when Peter takes him out just a little distance, the Bible says that Jesus sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. That was their custom. When they taught, they would sit down. Today we'd probably struggle with that, you know. The minister got up and just sat down. We like the minister to be a little lively, have a little movement about him. But at that time, the teacher would sit down and he would teach and expand on the Word of God. And he done this. He went out to the ship. Remember, there's a crowd of people that's around him. He pushes a little bit out into the water so the people could see him, so the people could hear him when he begins to teach along the Word of God. We find that, you know, most lakes, the shore is a little bit higher than the water. You know, if it was vice versa, you know, the water would just overflow into the banks, you know, kind of like New Orleans or something like that, you know. But most of the time, the shore is a little higher. So he's out in the water lower. The people are up here. They can see Christ when he is teaching to them. And plus, we know that a lot of times that the sound will echo off the water, and it would be like he would be in a theater. Like he had a PA system where he could be able to hear, say the words, and the people would hear that. Great multitudes of people were there, and he wanted every one of them to be able to hear what he had to say. Amen? We find that after he got done teaching, sharing the Word of God, he speaks unto Peter in verse 4, and he says, let's go out. Let's launch out into the deep. Let's go a little farther, and let's let our nets down so we can catch some fish. Now, this obviously was not the Sabbath day. This was just a normal day that Christ was out and walking the seashore, and the people was thronging to him, and he shares the Word of God. After that, it's time to go back to work. Amen? God doesn't expect us or want us just to be sitting around doing nothing. He wants us to be laboring. He wants us to be doing what is necessary in our day-to-day work. So he tells Peter, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets and let's catch some fish. Amen. But Peter had a problem with this. He had a struggle with this. He said, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. We have worked and we have labored all night and we have not caught anything. We have not caught anything. It's probably even the wrong time of the day for fishing. Here they have toiled all night. We've been there, church, many a times. We've labored and we worked, and it seems like, you know, that we toiled and we toiled, and we don't get anything accomplished. I have days like that quite often, you know. And you labor and you labor, and you don't seem to get nothing done. Am I the only one? Or you have days like that? I'm working on a house, remodeling a bathroom and a laundry room, and it's just an old house, and the walls are just as crooked and, you know, old and just settled and everything, and you just labor, you know, you try to put crown molding up, and it's hard to put crown molding up when the wall goes like this and up like this and things. And I labored all day, you know, and you look back and say, what have I got done? Praise God, but you just keep going on. You just keep pegging along and you'll get there. Amen. You keep working. But Peter says, you know, we've labored all day. We are all night. We have toiled all night and we have not taken anything. But he still, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy nets. I will do what you have told me, Christ. Peter has the mindset that it's a waste of time. We have toiled all night. It's the wrong time of the day to fish. We have caught nothing. And we're not going to catch anything, Christ. It's a waste of time. It's the mindset of Peter. We have done this all along, and we're not going to catch anything. And I think just kind of reading between the lines that Peter had the mindset was that, Lord, just to show you different, I'm going to go ahead and let down the nets.
I'm going to go ahead and let down the net. You ever have that idea, mindset? I'm going to do it anyhow just to show you you're wrong. Amen. We like to do that a lot of times. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you you don't know what you're talking about. And I believe that might have been some of Peter's idea. But he said, nevertheless, Christ, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I'm going to let down the net and we'll see what happened. Well, to their amazement, we find it in verse 6 that when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and so much that their nets started to break because they could not hold the number of fish that they was catching. As Christ told them, just let down your nets. Let down your nets and see what happens. And as he did, great multitudes of fish began to fill the nets, and they had to bring them in the boat. And I believe it was so much that the nets began to break. The ships could not contain the number of fish. They began to sink. And when they realized what was taking place, they realized that this man, Jesus Christ, he knows what he is talking about. He knows what he is saying here. And he said, Lord, get away. Back off from me. I'm just a sinful man. When you come into the presence of God, when you come face to face with the presence of God, you're going to realize that, Lord, I don't need to be in your presence. I don't have what it takes to be in your presence. I'm not worthy to be in your presence, Lord. That's the power of God. That's when revivals break out. When people get in the presence of God, when the presence of God gets in and fills the house, I've read time after time, when the presence of God gets in, what takes place? People fall on their face and they repent. They cry out to God, have mercy on me, Lord. You say, well, I haven't done anything that bad. I'm telling you, you get in the presence of God, you'll realize how inadequate you are, how sinful of a man you are. Amen? And here Peter does this. But the thing I want to bring out is they had toiled all night long. They had labored all night long and had received nothing. But Christ told them, just do it one more time. One more time, Peter. Throw out your net into the deep and let's see what happens. Let's see what takes place. And I believe, church, that the Lord spoke to me. And the word He gave to me was to tell you, go one more time. Throw the net out one more time and see what happens. A lot of times we labor and we toil and we think it's no use. Nothing's going to take place. I prayed. I sought God. I asked God for this. I asked God for healing. I asked God for revival. I asked God to do this. And it don't seem to happen. I'm here to tell you this morning, throw out the net one more time. Go to God one more time and ask of Him. That very next time could be the time that healing comes. That very next service could be the time that revival sweeps across this land. That very next time could be the time you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, the Lord is saying to us, throw it out one more time. Come to me one more time and I will give to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't have the mindset that Peter said, Lord, we have done this how many times? Hours. We've toiled. No, we got to really get a hold of the picture. Peter and his men, they had to be tired. As we would say, war slam out. Frustrated. They have let, this is their income. This is how they make a living. This is how they pay their bills. It's by catching fish. They have done had the expense of going out. They had to pay their help, or however they did it then. They had the expense. They had to do this. They had to do that. And they go out and they toil all night long. And I mean, they labored. They didn't have the power equipment that we have today. They had to do it manually. Had to throw those nets out. They had to wheel them back in. Throw them out again. Wheel them back in. Time after time. They had to labor after hour after hour. They were wore out, church. And then here comes Jesus. Take your boat out a little bit farther for me so I can get in it, or so I can preach. Peter, if you'll notice in the passage, Jesus, he didn't come to Peter and say, Peter, can I get in your boat? He just starts getting in. Amen? Read the scripture. And when he entered in the ship, which was Simon's, then he asked him, take it out a little bit for me. Praise God. Christ ain't got to ask us for anything we have. Amen. It's His. It belongs to Him. And He says, take it out. So now they've labored all night. They've toiled all night. Christ tells them to take the boat out. They're there while Christ is teaching and preaching to the multitudes. We don't even know how long that lasted. Now, I'm sure it wasn't a 30-minute sermon. Praise God. He was breaking the bread alive to them. He was feeding the multitudes. Praise God. And then, Peter, after all this, I imagine Peter's ready to go to the house. Amen. We would be. Up all night. Labor. They're washing their nets. They're tired. It's time to go get some rest. And Jesus tells them, go out a little deep. Go out into the deep. And cast the net again. And he does this, but he doubts. He doubts what the master told him. He tells him, we have toiled all night. We have not caught anything. The odds are against us, Christ. That's the problem with us, church. We look at the circumstances. We look at the surroundings. And we give up. Because the odds are against us. We think it's 2013. What, God going to give us revival in 2013? Is God going to give us a revival when sin is on the increase and all these things? I'm telling you, that's a perfect time that God can give us a revival, church. We can't look at the odds. Don't matter how long you've toiled. Don't look at what time of the day it is. Do what the Master says. Throw your net out again. Praise God. Go with me to 2 Kings. Praise God. Amen, amen. I need a touch today. God help us. I've been having some problems. I don't know if sugar gets low or what, but God's going to help us this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 6. You're probably familiar with this story. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to run through it real quickly for you. I'm down in verse 8. 2 Kings 6 and 8. And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. Now let's get a hold of this story here. We find that the king of Syria, he's warned against the children of Israel. And he's took counsel to his servants and he's telling them, we are going to, in other words, set up camp here in this spot. Nowhere I find that the scripture tells us exactly what place he's going to set it up. It just says in such and such place, they're going to set up camp. And they're going to be there close, I presume, to the children of Israel. But thank God for the man of God. Amen. Thank God for the preached word that sends a message to you and warns you about the danger that's around. Amen. We should rejoice in God's word. We should rejoice for the man of God that warns us and tells us. Amen. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel saying, beware. Warning, beware thou that pass not such a place, for then the Syrians are there. The enemy is there. Don't go down to this place because the enemy is there. They're camped out there. They're ready to ambush you. They're ready to attack you. And the king of Israel, in verse 10, He sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. The king, he sent some men down. I don't know if he sends them down there to scout it out. We're not told exactly about this army. We're not told exactly what's taking place. But two or three times, or one or two times, he sends some men down there and they are able to come back. Well, the king of Syria is not liking this. He's not liking that these people are able to come and go and not be captured. And he thinks there's somebody working on the inside here. There's something going on. This is the king of Syria. And he tells us in verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of is for the king of Israel? He's thinking, there's somebody in my camp that's betraying me. Somebody is letting these guys get in and out. Which one of you are doing this? Which one are you not being faithful to me, but are being faithful to the king of Israel? And then verse 12, the men, his servants said, none of us are doing this. None of us are telling them. None of us are betraying you. We're being faithful to you, O king. But there's a man of God. Elisha. Elisha is the one. He's the prophet that is in Israel. And he tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest so in detail, so king. It don't matter how much of secret you can be in your bedchamber. But this man of God, he is telling the king of Israel what's going on. And he's telling them exactly what's taking place. That's our power of our God. Amen. He knows exactly your thoughts and the intents of the hearts. He knows exactly what you're thinking, what you're doing. You're not hiding anything from the king. Praise God. And he tells them, it's the man of God that's doing these things. He tells them, the king of Israel, the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He's not here. King, but you can be sitting in your bed. And this prophet knows what you're saying. Yeah. Praise God. Right. Amen. Give us a men of God that like that. It's got such discernment. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he tells them in verse 12. And one of his servants. Verse 13. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Or Dothan, however you want to pronounce it. Therefore sent ye hither horses and chariots, and a great heat, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So the king of Syria, he sent some men down. He said, I want to know where these people are. I want to know where this prophet is at. And he sends and he finds him. He tells him he's down in this area. Dothan, he's there. And he said, well, we are going to attack him. Let's take our chariots. Let's take our men. Let's take our warriors. And let's go down there and let's take care of this man. And he does this. He goes in at night. And he compasses the city about. Sneaks in at night. Praise God. That's just like the devil. Amen. He's got to sneak in. Amen. He's got to sneak in at night. Amen. He's got to sneak in. Old fly fox. And he tells them the enemy comes in. And then if we read the story, we find that after the enemies get there and they surround the city, they're compassed about by the enemy. And he talks about they got horses and chariots and a great host. These are warriors. These are men. And there's a great host of them that surround the city about. And then early in the morning, Elijah's servants, he gets up. And it's probably just breaking of dawn, just starting to get a little bit light. And he looks out across the lands. And he sees this great army compassed about them, all the way around them, church. They're surrounded by the enemy. And fear grips this servant, church. Fear grips this servant. How many times we let fear grip us, church? How many times we look at the circumstances and fear grips us, amen? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go back to Kings if you want to hold your finger there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice in verse 8, Scripture tells us, "And we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies," or mortal flesh. What am I saying? The Scripture tells us in verse 7 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are troubled on every side, church. Sometimes it seems like there is trouble everywhere we turn. Amen? He tells us we are troubled on every side, but not distressed or not hemmed in. The enemy may be surrounded us, but we're not hemmed in. Praise God. We're not pinned down. We are not pinned in by the enemy. We are perplexed. Or in other words, it seems like there's no way out, what that word means. Many times we pray and we seek God, and the problem is so great it seems like there is no way out. We are perplexed, but not in despair, church. Utterly at loss. We are not at loss. We may be perplexed. It may seem like there's no way out. But we are not at loss. There is a way out, church. It may seem like we are persecuted, but God has not forsaken us. That was the situation that this servant had in 2 Kings chapter 6. He goes out and he looks early in the morning and he sees the enemy surrounding them. They're troubled on every side. What are we going to do? He tells us in verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, and behold, a host come past the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" This word alas means expressing pain. They were in a bad situation when you look at it naturally. You have all these warriors around you, surrounding you. And you know you're fixing to go in this battle. You're outnumbered. You're outpowered. You're weak against them. That's the way we are against the enemy, church. We're outnumbered. We are outpowered in our own selves against the enemy. We're weak against the powers of darkness. But we've got the power of God, church, that will see us through. And Elijah, his answer, he didn't fear, he didn't fret, church. When the enemy comes and surrounds you, don't fear, don't fret, don't let the enemy get the best of you. Go to the Lord and say, "Lord, open my eyes so that I can see what's going on here." Praise God. And that's Elijah's prayer. He says, "God, open my servant's eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. Yeah. Praise God. The enemy was surrounding the city. But when you looked a little farther on the mountaintops, on the ridges, you saw this great host, God's army, that surrounded the mountaintops, chariots of fire. Praise God. Amen. Those enemies that were surrounding the city, they were no problem for God. They were no problem for Elijah and the man of God. All he wanted them to do is see what God can do for you. The problems you face, the things you go through, don't let it get you down. Don't let you think that there's no hope. Elijah's servant thought there was no hope here. We're surrounded by the enemy. You're not surrounded by the enemy in the sense he's going to overtake you. There may be trouble on every side. But I'm telling you, we need to open our eyes, church, that we can see the powers of God that's encamped around about His children. He'll see you through it. He will see you through it. Don't let the circumstance overwhelm you and think there's no hope. Throw out the net one more time. Cast out the net one more time. He'll give you an answer. Praise God. Glory to His name. Don't give up. Don't run and hide. God's army will be there for you. And He'll see you through it. Glory to His name. Amen. Judges, chapter 6. Don't let circumstances overwhelm you. Think you cannot take out, but you'll be taken out. God's army is camped around about you. Judges, chapter 6. We see again where the power of God is used and where God does a great and mighty thing through a few people. A few people. You're familiar with the story of Gideon. And how the enemy has come and just perplexed against Israel. Time after time, they're weary. Israel is weary. They're going without. He says in verse 2, Judges 6, that they are in dens which are in the mountains and in caves and strongholds. They're hiding from this enemy. God doesn't want us to hide from the enemy, church. He doesn't want us to run and hide in caves. Amen. Stand up against the powers of darkness. Stand up for what is right and proclaim the truth. Praise God. They encamped against the children of Israel. They were taking their cattle and their tents and all these things. Praise God. The enemy, if you don't stand up for what's right, the enemy's going to come and he'll take everything. He'll take everything. Amen. Praise God. And he passed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of their enemy, the Midianites. Verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who have oppressed you, and drove them from you before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. You have not obeyed my voice. The children of Israel, God had brought them through so many different times, so many different things, church. God saw them through and drove out the enemy, gave them their land, done all kinds of great things for them, church. But they weren't obedient to God. They weren't obedient to His commandments. God had brought them through time after time. How many times has God brought us through things, church? How many times you can look back and see what God brought you through? Now when you come through that mountain, don't forget what God brought you through. He'll take you over this mountain also. Don't throw your confidence away. Be obedient to God. Trust what He has to say, and He'll see you through. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, if you'd like to go over there, and we'll go back to Judges. But He tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6, but Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hold fast the confidence, church, that we have in the Lord. How many times we throw our confidence away? How many times we doubt God? And He brought us through time after time after time. And we come up to the river again and we doubt God. Why'd you bring me here? Why'd you lead me here to die? No. Look back, church, on how many times God brought you through. Look back how many times God made a way for you. Don't throw that confidence away. Hold on to it. He will see you through again. Praise God. He tells us in verse 12, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. That's our problem, church. God brought us back. God drew many times. And we doubt Him. He tells us, for us to doubt God is to have an evil heart.
Come on, brother.
Take heed, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
Yeah.
Doubt and fear, confusion, turmoil, all these things are not of God. They're of the devil. And when those things come into your life, you've got to get them out. It's an evil heart that's trying to get in.
Yeah.
So He tells us, church, take heed when that fear grips them. When that fear comes in, to get it out. Don't doubt God. Look back how many times He brought you through, church. All of us can say that. God, I remember when I was sick here. And You brought me through it. God, I remember when I had a financial struggle here. And You brought me through it. You saw me through it, God. God, I remember when this happened. And this person did this. Or this person did that. And God, You brought me through it. God, You saw me through it time after time. Don't forget those things. Don't forget those times that God split the Red Sea for you. So you could go through on dry land. Remember what He did, church. Remember what He did for you. And then exhort one another daily. He tells us. Well, it's called today. Exhort one another. We don't need a church like Israel that's whining and complaining about what they're going through. We need a church that says God will make a way. God will see us through it. We need saints that will help the other saints and say God will see you through it. He says, exhort one another. Ask God to help us, direct you. You might have already been through that situation. You can exhort so-and-so because God brought you through it. Amen? You know what it's like. And you can exhort. Encourage one another. We don't need these doubting Thomases. We don't need Job's friends. We need people that's going to encourage one another. Whatever you're facing through, brother or sister, God will see you through it. We have a lot of times, I told them in Fayetteville, I said, a lot of times we have people, you know, they will say, you know, I'm sick in body. I've been diagnosed with something terrible. And people will come to you and say, well, I knew somebody that had that and they died. We don't need that kind of encouragement, church.
Right.
We need encouragement. God will see you through it. God will help you through it.
Right.
Praise God. I've been there, church. I've been financially, didn't know what we was going to do. God made a way. I've been there. You've been there. I'm going to encourage these young people coming up. God will see you through it.
Right. Amen.
I look at the hour we're living in. And I feel for our young people. We thought it was tough when I was growing up, or coming up and starting a family. It's going to be tough for them. But I can look back and say, God brought me through it. God will bring you through it also. Glory to God. I'm going to tell them it's tough out there, son. I don't know if you can make it or not. No. God will see you through it.
That's right. Amen.
It might be a little rough, but just buckle up. God will take you through it.
Yes,
amen. Exhort one another. Don't throw away your past experiences, what God has done for you. Back in Judges, Gideon, he's crying out to God about this enemy. The angel of the Lord visits him, talks to them. And the Lord appeared to him, and back in Judges 6 and 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Lord, it's with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's looking around, are you talking to me? You talking to me, a mighty man of valor? Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then is all this befallen us? Oh, how many times we say that? How many times we say that? We get in a little bit of pressure. God, where are you? Why am I going through this? Why have you forsaken me? Praise God.
Oh, man.
Maybe you're not done it, but I have done it.
Go ahead.
So why is this happening? Where be all His miracles, which our fathers told us of? How many times do we say that? We talk about the past miracles and not expecting future miracles. Praise God. We got to look back at what God done for our forefathers and say He'll do it again. God, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land. Verse 15, I want this paraphrase running on down, save time for you. He tells them, the angel of the Lord tells them, you're the one God's going to use. Gideon's response is, He's going to use me. My family is the least of people. We're not no great warriors. And I'm the least in my family. God's going to use us. We're the least. Glory to His name. Oh, I don't doubt other churches are looking down this little congregation in Washington, North Carolina. They got their big cathedrals. They got their big services. They got their family life worship centers. They got a full crowd and they caught all that. And how many times God spoke to this little congregation and said, I'll use you. I'm going to use you. We're not busting at the seams. We don't got the fancy chandeliers. We don't got the big incomes and all this stuff. God spoke time after time after time to this little congregation. Be faithful and I will use you. I will give you a harvest. God has not spoken that to the big churches. God has not spoken that to the big congregation. God has met with us and spoke to us. So I'm telling you, church, don't put aside what little things God's going to do for us because we're small. He'll do great things for us even though we are small, church.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. God took 12 men and started a church. God took 12 men and they turned the world upside down, the Scripture says. Was 12 men. How much more God can do with us? Don't think I'm not able. I'm not capable. You're not in your own ability, but God. But God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I hope you're still with me on this. Amen. He tells them what's going to take place. And the angel of the Lord speaks to Gideon and tells him these things. Gideon's struggling with this. He's struggling with this, church. He wants some signs. He tells him, God, if this be so, let some things take place. Let there be some signs that's going to happen. In verse 21, he talks about this. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Gideon was doubting God and what he was going to do, what the angel of the Lord was going to do. And he said, I need some signs. Later on, God told Gideon what he's going to do. And he said, I got to cast some fleece here. I got to be sure that this is God and what God wants. There is nothing wrong with wanting to be sure. Nothing wrong with that, church. There's nothing wrong with being sure that God has spoken to you. Well, I know Gideon cast some fleece, and we don't see nowhere that God really rejected that and says, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. But I'm here to tell you, church, I don't think we've got to cast the fleece. I don't think we've got to go out and cast something out there and to make sure this is what God wants us to do. We've got the Spirit of God now, and God can speak to us. God can direct us. You don't have to go and cast a fleece out. If God said He's going to give us a harvest, then you need to mark it down. He's going to give us a harvest.
Amen.
If God said He's going to do this, then He's going to do it. There's nothing to be wrong with being sure. You want to be sure? Get this Bible out and read it. And when God speaks, He means business. That's the surety we need in His Word. Amen. Praise God. His Word will tell us. His Word will give us the assurance. Many times I've gone to the Word, God, I need an answer. And His Word spoke to us. That's what we need. You know the story? They start out with a multitude of men. Was it 32, I believe? 32,000. He tells them, if you're afraid, put it in my words, if you're afraid, I can't use you. You need to go back to the house. I think if we're doubting, God can't use us, church. If you doubt today, God's not going to use you. He's not going to use you. So we have all these men leave. They're down to about 10,000. He tells them, take them by down to the water. See how they're going to react. See how they're going to drink water. You know, God puts us through tests to see how we're going to react. Amen. He lets circumstances come through our lives so we can see how frail we are. And those that squatted down like a dog and licked up the water back to the house. Those men that kneeled down and they scooped the water up with their hands and brought the water to their mouth where they could still look around and see where the enemy is. God used was going to use these men. These men that was going to be aware of the enemy and who he is and who he's around and how he's doing things. God can use that. I'm telling you, if we don't become spiritually and know how the enemy and know how he works, God cannot use us, church. Praise God. He gets down to 300 men. And God said, these number of men is the ones I'm going to use. 300 of us. Small crowd against the enemy. We're a small crowd against the enemy, church. But God wants to use us. God wants to use us.
Come on, brother.
Glory to God. Let's go into chapter 7. Again, Gideon's doubting. He's wondering about this. God says, okay, you need some more insurance. You need some more. I'll give it to you. Go down to the enemy. Hear what they've got to say. And he goes down there and he sneaks in there and he hears one of their men telling about a dream he had. So I dreamed that this loaf of bread, but my words rolled down and it rolled right into the tent and it overcome the whole tent. The whole tent fell down. Destroyed it. Interpretation was, well, that's nothing but God and Gideon's army coming to take us. I'm not against being assured and seeking God. And God will give you that comfort, church. God will give you that comfort. How many times has He told us, don't fear. I know what you're going through. I know where you're at. The Spirit of God has spoken to us many times and told us, I'm with you. So Gideon realized, yes, the answer's here. God's going to use us. And this is how He's going to do it. And he takes the 300 men and he tells them. He gives them a pitcher. He gives them a lamp, a torch. He gives them a trumpet and tells them, this is how we're going to overcome the army, the enemy. Now, how many would you wonder if we was going to go to battle and our our leaders start handing out trumpets and start handing out empty pitchers and start handing out torches. And we wonder, where's the swords? Where's the shields?
Come on.
I thought we was going to war.
All right.
I'm here to tell you, God is not going to use the weapons of this world to overcome the enemy. God's not going to use the tactics of the church world and the way they do things. God's going to do it His way. And it's going to be through faith in Him.
Praise God.
Get your eyes off of what other churches are doing and how they're doing it. God's telling Gideon, you get your eyes off that other army and how they're battling, how they're warring. You do it like I tell you. And you'll conquer. God tells us how to do it right here, church. And we can conquer if we do it according to His words. He takes the 300 men, He divides them up. And they go down. And again, He says, you don't do anything until I tell you. And then you do exactly what I say or how I do it. You do it exactly the way I want it done. And I'm telling you, church, that's what God wants today. He wants us to do it exactly the way He said. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Let me get up here. Notice in verse 19. So Gideon, chapter 7. The 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 300 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and yelled the lamps or held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands, and they blew with all they had, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they took... Notice verse 21. This is very important. This is the key right here. And overcoming the enemy. Verse 21. And they stood, every man in his place, around about the camp. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled.
Yeah.
Gideon tells them, you take the trumpet in one hand, you take the torch in the other hand, the pitcher, and you do exactly what I tell you. And every man stood in their place. Every man did exactly what they were supposed to do, in other words. And we are going to see the power of God work, church. Every man has to stand in their place. Every man has to do their parts. I'm not talking about here as cleaning the church and doing this and doing that in the church. Those things are necessary. They have to be done. But if every man will be the spiritual man and woman that he needs to be, God can do great and mighty things through us. But every man has to stand in their place. When one of us don't do right, it affects the entire body. Every man stood in their place. Praise God. Help us, Lord. Your spirituality has an effect on this body. It has an effect on what God can do. And when you get out of your place, it's going to stop the work of God. Every one of us has got to stand in our place. And God will give us revival. Just imagine if everyone in this house would be all they could be spiritually. What God could do. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Praise God. Stand in your place and do what you know you've got to do. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord and every man's sword against his fellow. And even throughout all the hosts. God took those 300 men against a whole camp of warriors. And He told them what to do. And when Gideon went in there, he blew the trumpet and the whole 300 men blew their trumpets as loud as they could. They beat those pitchers and busted them, made the noise of the trumpets and the light shining so much that it spooked the enemy. And they pulled out their swords and started killing each other. If every man will do their parts, we can put the enemy on the run, church. We can put the enemy on the run. But every man's got to do their parts. Now you say, what's that got to do with us and casting out your nets? Don't let circumstances stop you from going forward and seeking God. Don't think it's have that woe is me attitude. The enemy is too great. I give up. I'm throwing in the towel. I can't go no farther. No. Don't have the mindset we're weak and feeble. We don't have all the utensils and the tools and the weapons that other churches have. Yes, we do. We just got to do it God's way.
Amen.
Whatever the circumstances you're going through, don't give up this morning. Throw out the net one more time. It's not too big for God. It don't matter if it's just a handful of people. It don't matter how big the army is against you. Do what God said and throw out the net one more time, church. Throw it out again. I'll close. John chapter 21. Turn there. Notice, let me find it real quick. John chapter 21. Give me a second. It's here. Notice and down in verse, let's start at verse 3. Chapter 21, verse 3. Excuse me. John 21 and 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto them, we're going to go with you. And they went forth and they entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now don't that sound familiar? We've been down that same road, church. Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Praise God. Peter and the disciples, they didn't know what to do yet. They haven't received instructions to go and tarry in the upper room. They didn't know what to do, church. So we're going fishing. We got to go provide for our families. Sometimes, church, if you get to that place, you don't know what to do. Just stay on the same course and just keep going forward. Do what you do know to do until you get further instruction. Amen. They knew how to fish. I'm going fishing, Peter said. I got family at the house. I'm going fishing. Until they got further instructions to go in the upper room. So they went. They go fishing. And caught nothing. Verse 5. And Jesus said unto them, children, have any meat? It might have been somebody on the seashore wanting to buy some fish or something. And he cries out, you got any fish? You got any meat? They're probably used to something like that. And notice what they said in the last part of verse 5. And they answered him, no. All of them in the boats. Not just Peter. They all said no. Now I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but that seems like a frustrated no. We don't have anything. No. Leave us alone. How many times we get frustrated and we get a little short with people too, amen? We do that too. We done toiled all night and you got the nerve to ask us if we got any fish. Praise God. No. All right. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. Now I know at this time they don't know that this is Christ. It's still not light enough. They just see someone, probably maybe some fog early in the morning. They just see the shadow of a person on the ship or on the shore. And he says, cast it on the other side and you're going to find some fish there. Now that had to ring a bell with Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. They heard that before. They was with Peter the first time. When they went out, Peter said, throw it down one more time. They was there. This time they didn't question them. So that just kind of makes me think that they're starting to think a little bit. I've heard this before. I've experienced this before. How many times we learn from our experiences, church? We go through something, and then later on, it happens again or happens to somebody else, and we get to thinking, I've heard this before. I've been through this. I remember when somebody else told me to throw it out one more time. I'm going to throw it out again. I'm not going to say, hey, we toiled all night long. No. They took it and they threw it out. And again, what's happened? When they did this, church, again, a great flock or a great catch came on upon them. And then they realized for sure, this is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ. They knew for sure. Praise God. Amen. God wants you to know for sure, church, tonight, don't give up. Throw the net one more time. Throw the net. You prayed for your lost loved one. You prayed for this. You prayed for that. Throw the net one more time. Go to the altar one more time. Make your petition. Cast your care upon Him one more time because He cares for you.
Amen.
Don't matter you've been toiling all night long. Go to Him one more time. And I close, church. If you'll stand with me. I hope you receive something this morning. Wednesday evening, when we was here, I believe God was with us Wednesday evening. Gave us a good service. I went home that night and that next morning. I was kind of troubled. Not troubled, but I don't know how to explain it, but I just felt in my spirit that the church needed some kind of encouraging word. A lot of times, ministers, they're always, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Sometimes you got to give them a little encouragement, a little boost. I just felt that in my spirit Thursday. Thursday at around lunchtime, I was down here at Sheets. And I ordered me some lunch, and I was standing there waiting for it. I said, God, what can I speak to them Thursday or Sunday? Give me a message. Give me something to say. Give me a scripture. And I'm telling you, as much as God spoke to me, He has spoke to me standing right there in line. And He said, tell them to throw out the net one more time. Throw out the net one more time. And I'm here today to tell you, throw the net out one more time. Throw it out one more time. Don't let circumstances, don't let how big the problem is stop you. Throw it out one more time. And I know enough when the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, there is somebody here that needs this word. Throw it out one more time. And if you are in that situation, you need to step out by faith and come and say, God, I'm here. I'm going to throw the net out one more time.
Hallelujah.
You need to step out. You're here. God does not lie. The Spirit of God does not lie. If you have doubted God and said it's no use, it's hopeless, I don't think God's going to do it, I'm here to tell you, throw it out one more time.
Amen.
My brother's not the only one that's been honest. Some more of you need to be here. Some more of you need to be in this altar and throw the net out one more time.
Yeah.
Throw the net out one more time.
Oh, Lord.
Come on, church. Do what God said. Throw the net out one more time. You need to be in this altar.
Hallelujah.